This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Stores beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy 6 Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1-liter flavors and get the 7th free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy 6 and get the 7th free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
All right, people are starting to get annoying in here. Thursday edition on DFW Sports Station 105.3. The Fan, Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. You're going to start getting the bit people. The people are going to start cracking a little bit, waking up a little early, coming on out here after drinking and partying. So we may have to go wireless to kind of shut these fools up.
Shut them up, shut them down.
Oh, or you could have just told them all in the bathroom stall right
Man,
there.
Man, let me tell you something, okay? I was riding the amount of pilot co-pilots that were going on in that bathroom, and everyone's butt told the same story. This place sucks. The food here is god-awful.
Oh, my.
Just the bubble. Gosh. I mean, let me tell you something, okay? Yeah, I know.
It's a pretty good trip.
I know what happened and how.
And you've done nothing but eat in the lobby.
I know.
I got a burger yesterday. It was very good.
Okay.
I know what happened here, okay? You had a bunch of people that started coming to New Orleans years ago, and they said, wow, they cook with this amazing thing called butter. All right? It's not hard. It's not culinary to slather it in butter and deep fry it in chocolate sauce, okay? That's not culinary.
I'm not kidding. I was talking to somebody who said they ordered grilled chicken, and they're like, I just want something a little healthier. So they went and ordered grilled chicken, and they came up, and the plate was dropped in front of them here, and it was fried. And he was like... This is fried chicken. And like, it's grilled, and then we batter it and we fry it. He's like, don't call it grilled chicken. Yeah.
No. So Ruben actually had the best commentary on the food. I'm coming around to Choppy in terms of the city, the weather. He was crapping all over it. And I just remembered it different however long ago that was.
It was cold last time we were
here. Probably drunk the whole time, too.
Yeah.
But they just rename things here. That's their specialty. It's renaming.
Yeah.
This whole po' boy thing, like... Yeah. It's a sub. Like, they fry the shrimp, they put shredded lettuce, tomato, mayo, and their bread is good. It's like really hard on the outside, soft on the inside. I think that's it. Everything else is in a gravy or a stew. Ruben goes, jambalaya, man. Just say it's rice and stew. What do you do? Like this king cake over here that my wife. Shout out to my lovely wife. She was very adamant of having us talk about this.
Very good. Thank you,
Amanda. She stood in line for an hour yesterday to get this king cake, and you apparently have to buy 3 of them. Amanda, you did good because walking in the security, they all recognize the box. By the way, read the box, Bobby. Say who made it.
Yeah, it's a dong.
Yeah.
Dong Fong.
And they're making the... You'd think, you know, I was getting a different type of food.
Come eat this dong. Chop.
Yeah, right. So, but they're all like, yo, that's the best. That's the best. We're all eating it. We're like,
when you eat the dong, you get a baby too, right here. You get this.
They're all like, it's a cinnamon roll.
Cinnamon
it
roll.
Is. Like, well, what is this whole cake? It's a giant cinnamon roll. A regular sub is a po' boy.
Yeah.
Like, their specialty here is not the food. It's just renaming
somebody else's creation. Like the oysters, I'm a big oyster fan. I love the oysters. We had the char grilled oysters, and everybody said get the char grilled when you go to this place. I mean, that's a waste. You wasted oysters. They were good, but I wasted oysters. I wasted them because
you wanted to like taste it on its own.
Yeah, Like, all you did with the char grilled is, like, you just buttered it and fried it. Like, that's it. No, that's not. I want to. The delicacy of the oyster is the treat.
Yeah.
I would think that would be the only way to eat it, would be if it's, like, buttered now, and fried and you're not tasting fishy taste.
If you don't like the loogie aspect of it, which I do.
And this, and all that being said, that's how we're trying to find Italian food tonight as the final dinner.
Like, please.
All right.
I need healthy food. I'm going to go have Italian.
Yeah. Well, I'm not trying to find health. I'm trying to find really good food. But we're going to have to try to get the team dinner organized for this evening.
What's the best thing you've eaten since you've been here? Is there something that, like, has any of it been, like, really good?
I mean, the fried shrimp po' boy I had yesterday for dinner was good. The fish that we, the fried fish at Acme Oyster House was good. I thought it was really good.
That was good.
That was really good fried fish.
We got to find the chicken place that we were told about the other day, see if that's safe.
I'm looking it up right now. That's my prep work for this afternoon and lunch. NBA trade deadline day. Moves happening everywhere. Jimmy Butler goes to the Golden State Warriors. Of course, Chris Middleton yesterday goes to the Washington Wizards. And then the Lakers trade for Luka's big man, Mark Williams, giving up Dalton Connect. There's Eli Manning walking in there. Is he going to get the Hall of Fame news today or tomorrow, with Darren Woodson, who will join us at 8:40? More Mavs.
He's in a quarter zip.
Is he?
Yeah, of course he is.
That's funny in that commercial with Peyton going, oh, quarter zip, half zip. I don't know which one I'm looking at today. Quarter zip, half zip.
Cooper's running around here, too. He's been doing interviews about Arch all week.
We should get him.
We should.
Maybe a good wireless day. All right, NBC5 says that a Maverick fan got a notice from the team saying season tickets would cost 61% more next season.
I mean, that makes sense. So it's... They've got a window now.
That leads to the conspiracy theory stuff, though, of we're trying to make sure that arena is empty.
Do you think it
this can't be true?
Maybe there's an underreported part of the story, like we just haven't heard yet, that Rob Pelinka also convinced Nico to pay for Luka's salary in the trade, and so they're taking on a lot more money, and so they're going to have to pay for that.
They're sitting behind the scenes, and they're like, we're going to be in the West Finals again, so... On paper, it doesn't look crazy to have ticket prices stay the same or go up. And let's see. Cowboy fans always do this. Let's see if Maverick fans actually follow through and don't show. Let's see what happens.
Look,
now you got a quarter less of an arena to play with to make your statement, 20 versus 80, you know.
Now, the amount of...
1590, whatever the heck they are.
Major corporations that move in here yearly, you know, they're going to buy tickets. Right, corporations just buy it. They don't care what the price is. It's a business expense. It's the everyday person that a 61% increase. When you know, I mean, look, things have been expensive for a while now. Like it's just you got to cut costs somewhere. Usually, entertainment's one of the first places you go to.
Jay Glazer going to sit down with us at 7:20. Jerry and McCarthy are cool. McCarthy helped Brian Schottenheimer with his cowboy interview. What, Jay Glazer? Maybe the best in the business, 7:20 during the commercial-free expressway. Who is the guy who tried to get rid of Luka Doncic 2 years ago, Bobby?
Oh, the Reddit individual that I sent you yesterday. This is interesting. I'd never heard of this guy, but this was a post that was on Reddit, and it was locked behind a paywall. So you can't actually read what is being said in this article, but
it was summarized.
Yeah, it was summarized.
Royce Webb, is that?
No. Website? So Royce Webb is the name of this. Is the name of the guy who like runs the website. This is actually just an analytics guy who had worked for the Mavericks. His name was Josiah Engelman. And so this was it's behind a paywall, but one of the Reddit users had summarized it, said, one, Luka Doncic plays a brand of basketball. Analytics department for them. He had also worked for the Suns previously. He's out of the league now. He does writing, but he was one of these guys
who worked with Vegas Bob.
Yeah, that's he came in during that regime, and he left during that changeover. So he had done talked about kind of what the internal view was of Luka while he was there and how he views the trade. But he said, Luka plays a brand of basketball that generates raw numbers that overstate his impact. This has gotten better over the last few years, but the Mavericks' own internal models showed him as significantly overrated.
Wow.
Which isn't that kind of what, like, not that we've said he's overrated before, but haven't we said before, like, man, that's a quiet 28, 10, and 10.
Yeah, right. And we always ask, is he making everyone else better? Is he making everyone else better?
Like, and, you know, like, Porzingis went to, you know, other places. It seemed to have more impact at other places.
Yeah. I mean, Boston improved. When he was in Washington, he was better. There are questions about Luka's commitment to doing things that lead to winning, like getting back in transition, rotating on defense, boxing out, being conditioned. It appears these questions are more serious than the fan base thinks. Something we all
valid
knew
all
and,
valid
and assume Luka requires very specific team construction.
Let me isolate that one for a second. It's very hard, you know. It's very easy, you know, when he's putting up 33-9-9 and MVP type seasons and stuff, and hitting the big dagger highlight threes. I think what others get worried about, probably Nico or coach, we're tied. It's final possession, fourth quarter, game six. Is he going to rotate? Is he going to defend?
Of course.
Is he going to give the effort here? And those they may view as things, justifiably so, that can decide a series. Like, is he going to get back? Is he going to defend this layup? Is he going to make the hustle play? Or is he going to save it all for the offense?
Right. And
you
that's
know? Winning plays.
There's no doubt about that. And the best, I mean, look at the teams that win titles. I mean, they always have, like, at least a halfway decent perimeter defense. You just have to.
Well,
you have to be able to defend the perimeter.
The Mavericks actually, I think, as this points out, against Boston in the finals, like, they did not get lit up defensively. The Mavericks' biggest problem was offense.
Well, and he talks a little bit here about how this trade, he said, never happens with Cuban at all. Like with Cuban in there, never happens at all, which is what we knew. Cuban had the line where he said, I'd divorce my wife before I would trade Luka Doncic. This I thought was interesting. Never would happen with Cuban says Nico Harrison has surrounded himself with yes men, which would be interesting. The only thing I question here is if this was somebody who was purged as part of the Nico changeover, is he bitter? And like, well, he just clearly doesn't want opposing ideas. That's his problem. That's his fault here. He says Luka requires a very specific team around him. Like, the team construction's got to be very specific and narrow to get the best out of him. But they said, in summary, Engelman agreed with the decision to trade Luka, thought they could have gotten more. His proposition was Luka for Tatum plus some picks. Most interesting part of the article, the person who summarized it said, was that the Mavs' own internal models showed that Luka is overrated, especially notable since they have by far the most data on him. But, I mean, that right there, just even somebody who's like, yeah, you should absolutely trade him, for them to go, well, you should have gotten back Tatum, like one of the game's bigger stars who's also young. And then you should have gotten multiple picks too.
Right.
If you're so, even somebody who says, knowing what the models internally say about Luka for the Mavericks, still says you still got robbed.
Yeah,
that's bad.
Look, the analytics crew of the analytics world has always kind of used him and Russ as a comp. Now, the style of their game, like, necessarily isn't a comp because Russ is such a high flying guy, but they do put up a lot of numbers. They do put up high assist numbers. They're not incredibly efficient. There's I don't want to say necessarily a volume aspect of their scoring, but they're not necessarily in love with them.
Luka's a much more efficient scorer, though.
Efficient than Russ, no doubt, because he's a better shooter. But, and again, their games are different, but like, they don't really make everyone around them that much better.
You want the latest Bassick tweet?
Oh, baby, let's have it.
What's coming up in Mike Likes It today?
He sent this out 13 minutes ago.
What was this in reply to?
I think he was saying, I don't think I can be a fan of the NBA anymore. I find myself looking at the trades that went down last night and just feel complete sorrow. The Luka trade destroyed a franchise and gave new life to the Lakers. I went through the 90s as a Mavs fan. It might happen again soon. I'm out. So there's Mike.
He is echoing. Like,
why is he making it sound like this is the first time he said, I don't think I can be a fan of the NBA anymore? Haven't you said that like
48 hours ago?
For like the whole week?
He's so dramatic.
Like, you know these accounts? Like,
sounds like a depressing song.
The Twitter account, like the Mavs Muse Twitter account. Like, he's like, I'm not doing stats anymore for a while. I can't do it right now.
Oh, no. That's the thing.
People are jumping ship on this team. Like,
people
crazy.
This is depressing to people.
Yes.
This puts a lot of people
depressed.
Even though they might have a better team this year.
Yeah. You know what?
No one cares.
They don't care.
If I told you they're in the West Finals locked in, right now no one cares.
No, because people want to root for their guy.
Yeah.
We would all rather have Luka for the next 10 years and never win a title than have Anthony Davis or some outsider come in and win one title.
Would trading for KD today change any of the excitement, do you think? I don't think it does.
Like, maybe a tiny bit.
Maybe for somebody who's like, oh, KD's always been my favorite player.
Yeah.
That would be it.
Because some fans want to want to be able to like who they're rooting for.
But that's the change in fandom, right? It was always the jersey, and now a lot more of the player. Yep. What really happened inside the Cowboys' divorce? What can he tell us about their new head coach? The great NFL insider always dropping news bombs. Jay Glazer and a Luke Bryan ticket giveaway next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we are with Fox NFL Insider. I think he probably has the most relationships on Radio Row of anyone. he stops. How many stops do you think, Jay Glazer? You can't walk from that door to over here.
It's nice, though. It's nice to be loved, man. Yeah, absolutely.
Jay Glazer joining us on the Home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. How shocked were you over the hiring of Brian Schottenheimer?
I don't think I was shocked because just during the process, they were always saying they wanted Shoddy in there because of his relationship with Dak. So I don't think I was shocked, just because I knew the thought process.
What do you know about him?
I've known him for a long time, dude. Love him. Great dude. It was interesting, though, because it was just in that presser, it was like about him wanting to go call play somewhere. I knew he did. But they made it like him and Mike weren't good. And Mike actually helped him with the interview with the Cowboys. So they were good. And this just what happens. Like, whenever somebody, I think, moves on, you try and make it as glaring as you can of, well, this is, we don't have the old guy, so this is where the new guy is different. But the relationship was really good. Like, he actually helped prepare Brian for the interview, which I thought was pretty damn solid.
Why do you think Brian wasn't hired as a head coach over the past few years? Like, I know he had opportunities a while back, but why did the rest of the league not make him their guy?
You know, it's funny. There's an ageism thing in this league. Even though Brian's young, he's been around so long.
It's crazy.
Right? And he's like kind of looked at as like an old guy, even though he doesn't look it. And it's whatever Brian's taking, I need it. And yeah, Brian, whatever peptides you're on, you know, share it with the rest of the class.
Show them your bag, Chop. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah, see if Jay can name all your pills.
You want to see that? Are the Cowboys the team that care more about a connection with that coach than other teams in the league? They want comfortability. Are they the one?
Familiarity.
Familiarity.
Well, they didn't do it, Mike. They didn't know Mike at all, right? So they went out of their comfort zone there. But I also think, you know, they're different. They have a lot of control from that front office, obviously, from Jerry down. It's not, they're the opposite of a hands-off owner, complete opposite, right? So, but yeah, I do think they want someone who kind of gets the way they do it, the cowboy way. And it'll, you know, I again, you look at it and they paid, what did they pay Dak, 240? What was it?
60 a year.
60 a year.
Okay. What's that add up to?
Yeah, 240. 240, yeah. You got it.
Yeah, so.
You were making us do math.
Hey, I'm here to talk about ADHD, so obviously I can't add to it like the other kids. But I think, you know, with that investment they made, their thing was like, hey, we got to make sure we have someone who can continue to connect with him because we put all our eggs in that basket.
Jay Glazer here on 105.
What else are you talking about familiarity? That's how they got their defense coordinator because they know him. Right. And Eberflus, right?
Yeah.
Why Brian Schottenheimer and not Kellen Moore?
Good question. I think, well, look what Dak did after Kellen, right, when Mike and kind of Brian took it over. His footwork got a lot better. It's like these quarterbacks who are older or are experienced, they still need to do work. You know, I work with Tom Brady now, and he's like, even at the end of his career, he was constantly doing things, working with throwing coach, working with his coach Tom House, working with different guys, always trying to improve, always trying to work on whether it's footwork or release or how you're going to see certain things. It doesn't stop. You don't just suddenly come in the league and you're like, okay, I'm great now. Now I'm good. Like what makes these guys great is continue to work at it. And I think what Mike did and Brian did with him was better than what Kellen did.
Todd Archer said that.
I love Arch.
You love Arch? He said.
That's yours, yeah.
He said that Jerry offered 3, Mike wanted 5.
Mm-hmm.
What do you make of that?
He's correct. Arch is right, yeah. And they kind of just wanted to look at it as, hey, we don't want to make this, you know, the financial commitment in case things don't happen. And Mike was just like, nah, I'm just, yeah, I want to do a 5-year deal. And they kind of, they both stood their ground and then they hugged it out. And like Jerry and Mike are great. They're great. Like Mike has this. He does have this incredible respect for Jerry, as almost like a. He admires the heck out of him for what he's done, and you know, it's hard to see that on the outside. But with two of them would meet separately, Mike would come out of there like, man, this guy was like he had an uncle he got to learn from. He really did. That was that.
Really?
Yeah, that's the way he looked at Jerry.
So we had Mike on every Friday on our show. This is a theory of mine that it didn't seem like Mike, he's Pittsburgh gritty guy. And I don't know, I got the impression that Mike thought that we were football serious enough for what it really takes to win big with the circus and the show.
Yeah,
and
that place is different. Yeah, place is different. And that's the thing. Like, I think Mike did a really good job. And that's, look, when Mike first was getting interviewed, I told him, I said, I think you guys need somebody like this, not from within, need something from the outside that kind of shows you a little bit different, how it is out there. Because you gotta, when it comes down to it, who's really gonna be able to take that noise and put it outside and make it more about football? And that's what Mike's strength was.
Are you surprised he is not hired by someone else right now?
No, I think it burned him out a little bit. And I think he's just saying, you know, let me just, you know, he Chicago is like one place because close to Green Bay and a lot of family there. But I got a really good sense of, hey, if it's not Chicago, because it's just close to where he still has so many family and friends and stepson's there and I thought he was going to end up taking some time off. And again, Dallas is different, man. It's like, that's why I always say, like, Troy Aikman's the biggest gangster in the world, because that quarterback position for the Cowboys is like the, you know, I've used this line on your show before. It's like the center fielder for the Yankees, the shortstop for the Red Sox, and the, you know, the starting forward for the Lakers, all wrapped up in one. Mm-hmm. It's different.
Too soon. Don't bring up Luka Doncic already.
Yeah, very good.
Please don't. Like, it's too bitter.
Jake Glazer joins us here, 105 through the Fan.
My bad.
Why no?
Was there a NFL trade you can remember that sent those type of shockwaves, like what's happening?
So I'll tell you a trade that I had and I broke.
Sorry, Chuck.
Well, there's two things that I broke that were like, oh, my God. One of them was the Patriots were trading Randy Moss to the Vikings, back to the Vikings. And they had like a Monday night game and Randy didn't really play. I had the story that night, and they're like, my sources who told me said, hey, you just got to do us a favor. You cannot break it until we tell Randy. Well, they couldn't get in touch with Randy, right? Oh, there's a couple things, actually, and a couple stories. And they couldn't get in touch with him. And I'm like, and you guys have to understand, as an insider, sitting on this for freaking 12 hours, right? And not putting it out, not putting it out. And finally, I'm like telling my sources, I'm like, guys, can we just... Like, let's put my feelings first. Then Randy's here. He's going to find out when I put it out. And finally, I put it out, and no one believed it because, like, back to the Vikings. What? That one? I reported that the Seahawks traded Percy Harvin to the Jets on a Friday when the Seahawks were on their bus. I forget, they're playing somewhere on the East Coast. So they went. I think they're actually going to play, I'm sorry, St. Louis. But they're going out on a Friday. They're on the bus to go out early. And I get a call from Rich Eisen. I said, hey, big scoopage. Percy Harvin's being traded from the Seahawks to the Jets. And Rich Eisen texts me and says, is this Jay? And I'm like, huh? He's like, have you been hacked? And I was like, no, bro. And what happened was I broke the story and then took a bunch of calls, so I didn't have a follow-up. So it looked like I just had this one tweet that was just out of nowhere. It looked like I got hacked. And then everybody else started calling and said, no. Percy Harvin really just, but it was on a Friday. No one gets traded on a Friday.
Right.
When the team's about to fly out.
Cowboys hire coaches on Fridays.
And there was one, I'm trying to think there was another. Oh, and this wasn't a trade, but I came out of nowhere one time and report, and I remember Schefter's first day at ESPN, and I reported Brett Favre's coming out of retirement to join the Vikings. And,
wow.
And I remember Schefter, who I love, going on ESPN and like disputing, and I'm like, Schefter, bro, you know me. Don't let them pressure you into saying something's wrong that I have because of how competitive we are. It's like, man, just, you know me. Don't do it. Don't have him do it. And obviously, he's gone to have the most incredible career, but that was a pretty cool one, too. Yeah.
How do you decide? Sorry, I'm nerding out over your insider job. You don't do like what. I don't want to be disrespectful to the players. The smaller minutia things. How do you decide to drop the bombs versus every daggone transaction?
I was the first one to do this when that internet thing came out, which I think is going to take off.
It might work.
Yeah, it was 99. It was me, Len Pasquarelli, Mort, and John
Pasquarelli.
Clay. And Peter King was doing, but he wasn't really breaking news like that, right?
Yeah.
But he's an insider. But we were the first ones to do it. And back then, it's like I had everything. And so if you signed a fifth-round pick, bam, I had that. I had two phones. I had a deal with Sprint back then. And I was their spokesman. One of the things in that deal was for me to get a burner phone where it got traced back to like some lady in Arkansas or something. So when Patriots were trying to figure out who my sourcer was, anybody else, there were this poor lady in Arkansas was just getting
and that's Belichick calls me, busting her out.
So over time, so I did that for years and years and years. And one year, thank God, Fox came to me 10 years ago. They're like, you're going to die if you keep doing this. Because also it's like, I've always been me versus everybody else. So ESPN is 100. You know, it first started me versus 3 there, and then 5, then 10, then 20. Then NFL Network came around, and Shefty started there. And all of a sudden they had 3, then 5, then 10. And Fox has just been me. Like, I've always been a lone wolf in how I do it.
Yeah.
Because I have my own way. I've done things. But also over time, Fox is like, hey, you don't have to do this anymore. Just make sure on Sundays you're part of the biggest show in America, which is we have the highest. If you take our pregame ratings and put it against primetime ratings, then we'd be the highest rated TV show in the country. And we're on 9 o'clock in the morning
Wow.
Pacific time. But our OT it gets like 17 million viewers. It's ridiculous,
wow.
right? And our post-game show, and they're like, just be great on Sunday. Just on Sundays.
Yeah.
Have stuff that nobody else has. And I do. And that's what I take the most pride in now. And stuff you can't steal. Right? And that, because now it's like, I didn't sign up to be the fastest Twitterer.
Yeah.
I can't do that, you know?
But you got to get make sure that nobody else gets the info if you're going to hold
yeah.
it.
Yeah. But listen, like last year I reported that the Sunday morning that the Eagles very quietly basically fired their defense coordinator, hired Matt Patricia, and nobody knew. And I sat on that for 5 days. And I was like, the whole time, and I didn't tell anybody on the show until the day of. I'm like, I got something huge. And Strahan pulls me over. He goes, dude, you're not really going with this. I said, bro, you know me. And yeah. he's like, Jay, there's no way this could be real. Like, how does nobody have it? I said, Stray, I'm your best friend for 33 years. This is what we do, baby. Right?
yeah.
Like, and sure enough, like, nobody knew. But to sit there for 5 days, oh, my God. But my job is to make sure I have the best stuff on Fox and Sunday. And, like, my ins and outs, dude, they'll pull betting lines off as a result.
Yeah.
of
that,
right? And saying, hey, this one place said this guy's questionable. He's actually out for 3 weeks.
Are you like... Could you make a bet? I know there's NFL rules.
No, I like my money.
No, but you...
I don't do fantasy football, and I don't do that because fantasy for me is too much.
It's no, but are you like outlawed in Vegas from betting because you know something that's going to happen?
I don't know. I've never tried it.
All right, so...
I like my money. Man, I was making $9,000 a year my first 11 years. I ain't giving my money away.
Because Vegas finds things out before it's reported a lot of times. Like, do they have their own insiders?
No clue. I really have... No idea. I try and separate myself.
I'm curious. I want to circle back to something with the Cowboys. You mentioned the Eberflus hire, and the big thing we heard over and over again was culture. Mm-hmm. That was going to be the big thrust of the shot and everything. Things sounded like they ended really bad culture-wise in Chicago. Is that a concern at all?
No, because he's not the head guy. He's not the head guy. He's a good defense coordinator.
Why did that get so bad in Chicago?
Some guys are head coaches. Some guys aren't. And I think for him, too... It's funny because Matt has, and he and I have talked about it. When I talk about my mental health, I talk about me having this beast in the box. And I do a lot to be a good Samaritan in society. I'm trying to figure out how I can say this. And I used to be really bad. And Matt actually has some of that too. And he has to do a lot of work to keep that beast in the box. And I'm like, hey, bro, sometimes you got to let it out. And remind people you ain't like them. And I think he does a lot to... keep it in, and sometimes that could actually get in the way of, you know, because sometimes, like, once I get on fire, it's hard to put back, and so he has it in him, yeah, he has it in him, but it's when you're in that position, sometimes you're, like, Sean McVay and I talk about it a lot, right? Sean, we all know he's had some stuff, and I've helped him mental health-wise a lot, and sometimes I'm like, bro, it's okay to let that beast out of the box. Sometimes, just don't live in that, don't make that your norm. Okay, let them come out when you need it, right? But some guys, I think, like Matt, make sure it's never, ever, ever out.
Jay Glazer here on 105 Through the Fan. Every time you're on, you're usually talking about something very relatable yep. to our audience. Let's share it today.
Yeah, so I'm actually talking about ADHD, and I found so because I've come out and talked about my depression, my anxiety, my bipolar, my ADHD, it allows me to now have help that I didn't in the past. And I've been on, because I've tried. I first got taken to a therapist when I was like 5. Like, my parents took me, they were like, how is this screwed up one? and you know, just those pharmaceuticals haven't really helped. And I finally have something in Kelbry where it's a non-stimulant. I got put on stimulants. I was diagnosed with ADHD back in 1989.
Wow,
And those stimulants that I got put on, man, especially when you have some darkness, you have these good peaks, but the valleys are really rough. And so I stopped all of it. But because I've now spoken about it, I got introduced to Kelbry, and I take it at night, which you couldn't do with other ADHD drugs, right? It's going to keep you up. And it really helps me focus. And I also, like, I talk about this now. Like, as I go and talk to teams about mental health, when I tell them about ADHD, I'm like, listen, I want you guys, you coaches, to understand your players. When you have ADHD, it feels like you're drowning. If you're in, like, a lecture for 3 hours. They told me I had a learning disability growing up. I'm a learning disability. I just didn't learn the way you teach, right? And I coach mixed martial arts. Mm-hmm. I got to coach differently for different fighters, different people, right? We all got the same learning, and it just, like, you have ADHD, I'm sitting in a lecture, I feel like I'm drowning. And the only way for me to get that breath of fresh air is to fidget, is to disrupt the class, is to talk, is to walk out. I get in trouble every damn week of my life, and it sucked, right? So now to be able to have something that helped, and it's still there, but I've also figured out, of all my issues, where do they serve me? I'd say I weaponize them. My ADHD, where has it become a superpower for me? So I got six jobs at once, as you guys know. And because of that, because of my ADHD, I'm able to do six different things. I can't sit in a lecture for 3 hours, but if you weaponize it and you make it your superpower, you're not ashamed by it anymore. And like, who would have thought 5 years ago I'd come out here and talk about this so openly and be excited to talk about it to help other people so I can be of service. But Kelbury's really been a game changer for me.
Thank you for sharing, man. We love having you on every year. Keep killing it. Enjoy the weekend.
Appreciate it, man.
Jake Glazer, Fox NFL Insider on 105.3 The Fan.
Oh, that's interesting. I think that him talking about Schottenheimer there and him and how he and Mike work together and, you know, they're still best buddies and things like that.
Helped him for the interview.
Yeah, which I totally believe. He could have helped prep him, do different things like that. To make it sound like there was no issues with basically the Joneses and Schottenheimer kind of all said at the press conference the other day, like, yeah, it was a little odd at times because I didn't think he was doing things the right way. I that might be a little bit of a stretch.
By the way, he did confirm Todd Archer.
Yeah.
The Cowboys tried to push back on that. Archer said it was a, oh, my gosh. My
gosh. Look, we got John Kincaid there cigars.
Throw on this headset real quick, John.
Thank you, sir.
This is our boy over here.
Baby.
He gives us a hard time,
Pop
but he's
button on.
So Get much better than that freaking annoying fake blowhard
there
Angelo.
You go. There you go.
First
there you
time
go.
Doing radio, huh?
So much
yeah,
better.
It is my first time.
So much better than that blowhard
amplified
Angelo Cataldi.
Our How boy, are you boys doing?
John Kincaid from the Fanatic in Philly. How are you doing?
We're very excited for a big game coming up on Sunday and enjoying New Orleans. It's my favorite Super Bowl city.
It is?
By far.
We have not been as high on it.
Why?
I love it.
Chop, take it away.
The city is like, it's good because everything's close, right? It's
yeah, good I love setup. That. I love they, the hoof it places.
They do it right, but man, it's just so dirty. And it smells.
And, yeah. and the weather food, sucks.
And the food kind of sucks, too.
No, you see, the food's great.
Where have you been going?
GW Finns, if you don't go to GW Finns, you're out of your mind.
What is it?
GW Finns is the best seafood restaurant in America.
Whoa.
Whoa.
Right, in okay. America.
Is it just now, deep fry it in butter? Is that what they do?
No, it's delicious. Last night we had the scallopit last night.
Scallopit?
Scallopit?
It's the halibut cut.
What I tell you
with
they do
the
here.
Scallops and the shrimp. On
See,
top of
what
it.
What I tell you their specialty is here. Just rename
just
and stuff.
Rename
they throw it together.
Fins. That's what they do. That's what they do.
That's what they do.
I think in Dallas they could maybe try that right now, redoing some stuff. I
said,
by the way, good luck on your new coach who got married the same day I did at the same resort.
Really?
His marriage was right after mine. Brian Schottenheimer got married right after me.
Did you say what's up to him?
Yeah.
Talk to him?
We had to sit. Reverend Stern had to give us a lecture about getting married before we got married.
Wow.
So at Sandals and Negril, and the had to get a lecture from the Reverend Stern about, hey, you think she's beautiful and hot today, but guess what? Marriage has teeth. And wait till you see. Wait till you see what she's going to be like in 2-3 years. Are you still going to love her? All the stuff. And the women did not get. My wife didn't get a lecture before getting married. The brides didn't get lectured. The men did.
The men did.
Wow.
We're going to have to drop this. Do you feel? We know you got to get back. Do you feel bad for us? You feel bad for
no,
DFW,
not at all.
Right?
I really wish. I feel bad for Mavs fans. I don't feel bad for Cowboys fans. Birds win 31-20.
Get out, John.
Oh, wow,
John Kincaid bringing us the awesome cigars. Last year was salt and vinegar chips as well, but they're back here. They're back here again. And John had a big medical scare.
Yes,
so,
he's a great,
great
dude.
To
great
see.
To hear him.
Great to see that he's doing well. He's a good dude, unlike Angelo, who I don't like.
He's somehow like friends with my sister.
This guy?
Yeah, and he's friends with like my dad's friends from like back when he was a kid. I have no idea how. I don't know the connection, but somehow it happens.
All right, so back to the Cowboys. They pushed back against Todd Archer's report. Todd said that Jerry offered McCarthy 3. McCarthy asked for 5. Jay Glazer confirmed that.
Yeah, and that was something that, yeah, you mentioned the Cowboys pushed back against, but you heard Glazer right there go, he's absolutely right. Which, again, that speaks to I don't know how you could say
they didn't talk, they didn't get to negotiation.
But they're best friends. They are like this. They are thick as thieves, those two, while also like just completely disputing how this negotiation failed and who wanted what. It's like, all right, well, that clearly shows y'all weren't on the same page at all and still have a lot of disagreements. So there's no way that everything's just tight and great and totally positive. It didn't end totally positive. I think it's a fitting name. He's glazing it a little bit there.
Ooh.
That's what's happening.
I see what
there.
You're doing there.
We have a Luke Bryan ticket giveaway coming up for you momentarily here on DFW Sports Station. Micah Parsons was making the rounds yesterday. He stopped by with our boy Zach Gelb, and he first had to be asked about the news that we're all asked about here.
And my mouth dropped. And I got scared myself. I said, am I the next person in Dallas? You know, because you really never know what happens. And obviously, I had the ankle thing this year, and I thought that was the reason why I thought it was so important to get back because, you know, your best ability is availability. And I, you know, the fact that they didn't appreciate Luka for all he's done for them, taking them to a conference final. I would have, you know, the finals and, you know, doing all he did and being a five-time All-NBA just wasn't enough. And I think that's extremely disappointing. You know, I think when you invest in a player and he's showing you so much love and did so much for your program, you would think the loyalty is still right there back. And obviously, you see these sports it isn't. So it's super frustrating and it makes you sad.
Someone wrote to Luka, pack up, you're next. And he wrote back with like the shocked emoji face. So that was him responding to Doncic. And then he was asked about another big-time defensive player. Would he welcome Myles Garrett on that same Cowboy defense?
It'll just be a race to who gets 20 sacks. I think he knows the caliber player I am. But I don't know if we can afford to pay two top-end rushers.
That was his first thing he thought of. Second thing, he's like, I don't know if we could pay. I don't know if we could pay after I get paid.
But what are you talking about? Micah, you're going to take a massive discount. You're going to take a massive discount so that you can pay other people.
That's
you
right.
You don't want all the money.
That's right.
And I do, he clearly still does. He does not sound like he is of the belief that, well, this is a business. Because you heard him, like, zero loyalty for Luka. None. They clearly didn't appreciate it. Blah, blah. Boy, I don't know. When he actually sits down to that negotiating table with the Cowboys, and I think he experiences some of the ways that it's like you're trying to get down the price of a used car, and you're going, yeah, I don't know about this, I don't know about this. He might start getting his feelings hurt.
Myles Garrett then sat down on the Zach Gelb show, and Cup 4 Pepe, look at Kurt Warner. Whoever Kurt Warner's barber is, whoever does the facial hair, Bobby, see if he recognizes you since he doesn't text you back to ever come on.
He texts me back. He's just always like, I can do 11.
Myles Garrett on Micah, maybe joining up in the possibility as Parsons addressed it. What would Myles think?
Yeah, it could be tough. I know his contract is our new contract is coming up here soon, and you know, same with me. I'm up for an extension in the near future as well. So it could be tough, but you know, if they want to figure it out, if their management wants to figure it out, it's very possible.
If they want to figure it out, it's very very possible. And then I thought this was a great question from Zach. As you walk around here, right, Emmett Smith walking by, Eli Manning, there's Kurt Warner. We're going to have Darren Woodson at 840. Which fan bases? They quickly stopped letting the fans back in here, right? Remember that one year?
Oh, that was in Indy. That 1 year in Indy was a nightmare.
That was a bad idea.
Yeah, very bad idea.
Right?
Couldn't walk anywhere.
Myles was asked, in walking around, which fan bases are trying to recruit you the most?
When you walk around here today, what's the one team that you got the most? Hey, come join my team.
Oh, man. The Eagles have been out in full force. I've heard a good amount from Detroit, and you know, Commanders have spoken up a couple times as well.
So there's Myles Garrett after requesting the trade. Oh, filthy. These radio stations are recruiting.
Yeah, it was funny. WIP, a couple spots down, they were barking at him. Future Eagle. He had to turn tail and run the other way.
Saw some Eagle fans at the casino last night. Saw some Chief fans. I mean, they're out.
I saw this a little bit yesterday. There were some people on social media who were like, it seems like there's actually a common thought of just like, I don't feel bad for Myles Garrett. You're the idiot who signed in Cleveland. Like, you re-signed there. You should have gotten
it's not idiotic. That's the move.
No, yeah.
The move is sign it and then I'll force out. That's the NBA way.
Yeah. But I mean, he like staying here for, because I mean, he's got a year left on his extension or something, or 2 years, like where they're just like, dude, you're 8 years in and now you're like, oh, but Cleveland isn't awesome.
But you could have gotten hurt.
Yeah.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, I do feel bad for him. I feel bad. Myles seems like the right type of dude. Local dude.
RKG,
we think, just like Anthony Davis. One more comment from Micah. And this one, Mike has got to say something zany. He was asked about Derrick Henry. He's like, you ever sit there and watch Derrick Henry, Ravens, 2,000-yard season? This was on Sirius XM. Listen to what Micah said about having Derrick Henry on this year's Cowboys.
I'm afraid Derrick Henry wouldn't even have helped us. You know what I mean? Like, we were Derrick Henry should be blessed because he played with Lamar. He almost went for 2,000 yards. The hypotheticals sometimes can sound pretty good, but, man, we struggled so much that, you know, I don't even know if Derek could have helped us. You know, it would have been another Tennessee Titan year for him. So I'm happy he had the year he had, and deservingly so. And I think, you know, being in that system with Lamar helped him and helped him hit another gear in his career. So I think everything happens for a reason, and he's right where he belongs.
Dude.
What does that mean? He just said
we're the Titans.
He said we're the Titans. That's what he said.
They're picking first.
Yeah, the Titans went to the conference championship game with Derrick Henry once.
Well, and they're picking first
and
this year.
And they're also picking first.
Oh, my gosh. He is.
It wouldn't help.
Here's one thing I know for sure.
Why are people so short-sighted that they think like, the exact same thing has to happen in order for you to deem it a success? You can run for 400 less yards here than you had. And we'll take 1,600. We take 1,700. Uh-huh. We take 1,500. You know, the same thing doesn't have to happen in order for it to be an improvement.
He absolutely cannot be involved. He can't be one of these superstars who you run personnel decisions by. Because he was all hyped about the Mozzie pick. He made that pick, essentially, the way he made it seem.
Yes.
He's like, Derrick Henry, I don't know if that helps. Like, I mean, no.
Who would you trust more in personnel? Serious. Mm-hmm. Dez or Micah? Because Dez is vocal, too, on Twitter about, like, he's bold. I like it. He gives out he'll do Twitter scouting reports.
Dez has been right on some stuff, but Dez has also had some misses. Dez, I know, watches. Like, Dez loves studying college tape when guys are coming out. Like, Dez has kind of a scout's heart. So, probably Dez.
Yeah, I'd lean towards Dez as well.
Man, his kid, too, by the way. Apparently, he had, like, a dominating football. Dez Jr. Yeah, apparently having a great first year.
He's supposed to be. I think he's supposed to be running around Radio Row later today.
Dez Jr.
Senior.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Desmond.
All right, let's hook you up for turning it on, leaving it on, and putting up with us during the commercial free expressway.
Hey, I'm a little drunk on you and high on summertime.
All right, Tolos, that's right. Right now, call number 10 at 877-881-1053 wins a pair of tickets. See Luke Bryan at the Dos Equis Pavilion on Friday, June 20th. That's call number 10 at 877-881-1053.
You know, I got to admit, I was never the biggest Luke Bryan fan, but the songs that Peyton's played the past 2 days, I'm like, oh, I really like that song. Oh, I really like that song.
I didn't know that one.
I don't know that one.
I didn't know that one.
Yeah, that's a good song.
He still hasn't played, I think, probably his most popular one.
Which is?
I mean, I don't know the name of them. I don't know the name.
Sing
of
it.
I don't know the name.
We
of
should have
of
all week just been having, like, whenever it was like, hey, it's time for the giveaway, Choppy should have just sang the song. What's the song? He already played Country Girl.
He did. I hate that song. Oh, God, I hate that song. I can't stand that song.
Why?
Drink a beer?
I don't want this night to end. Probably.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
That one, yeah.
877-881-1053, the way to hit us up on the Franklin Franco Injury Attorney text line. Great news for a Texas Ranger that sounds like is moving into the broadcast world. Hit it, Pepe.
The 0-1. Swinging a drive. Well hit ball. Deep out into left center field. This one's got a chance, and it is gone. Back to the Tampa Bay bullpen. Elvis Andrus. What a shot for Elvis, his seventh home run of the year, and the Rangers tie it at 5.
Hixey with the call on the home of the Rangers. That's us. Elvis is going into the Rangers Hall of Fame, and Adrian Beltre is getting his statue.
Yes, and there's a difference, obviously, between a team Hall of Fame and your number retired. This is just, the Hall of Fame is a way to recognize players that are, you know, that were, you know, either lifelong players or, you know, fan favorites or, you know, just really, really good, but not worthy of immortalization where your number's retired. So it's like, yeah, so again, they only have a handful. They have 5 or 6 numbers retired, 5, I think.
Deserving?
Hall of Fame? Yeah, for sure. Like, no, team Hall of Fame.
Team Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah. Team Hall of Fame, absolutely deserving.
2-time All-Star. He was the leadoff hitter on 2 World Series teams. He had almost 2,000 hits in his career here.
Yeah.
He was
27th member.
He was like a mascot, too. Like, just his personality and everything else. And
He brought Baby Shark to the stadium.
He did. Makes sense that you would have a recognition, too, on the same day. Like, not, but just have Elvis and Adrian going in there together. So, and then the Adrian statue, that's easy, right?
That's an easy one.
Just dropped out the one-knee bat behind him statue. That's what it's got to be.
Yeah. Let's not weight it.
Yeah.
Let's not de-weight it.
Yeah, or the beads.
And
the
Lucas.
Dirt.
I'm just thinking of that Lucas statue. Should have been that.
Should have been there.
Right? That would have been a step back, right?
That was the saddest quote of any of the fan quotes. When that guy was standing out front of the arena, he's like, he was supposed to have a statue. It was so. These
what
people
did
are
you say, RJ?
Should have been a donut.
All right, let's talk about that and more with our great buddy. He lit up the airwaves last week in DFW. He's going to do it again. We sit down with Ross Tucker here on Sean and RJ next on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over, and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.